Okay, welcome to All About Symbian Insight podcast number 37, believe it or not, with me, Steve Litchfield in Reading.
Me, Rafe Blanford in Sussex.
And me, Ewan Spence in, well, Edinburgh today, actually. Yay!
And Ewan's just back from his reporting at the Fringe. I think that's all over for another year, Ewan.
It is, yes, but that's also in Edinburgh as well. But yes, let's not go there. It's one of those things I try not to think about, except for the last week of July.
There we go. Ewan's had a bit of a positive week on Nokia, which has surprised a lot of people on the site, but we'll probably get into that during the next half an hour as we chat about new devices and designs and so forth. I'd like to start with the new devices, if I may, because that's the most exciting news, I think, certainly for many people out there. These are the devices that Nokia have announced in their N series to take them well into the next year, 2009, and I think they'll sell rather well. They're certainly mainstream, high-spec devices. Rafe, do you want to just... summarise the basic specifications, then Ewan and I can leap forth with opinions.
Yes, so we've got two devices here. The N79 is a candy bar form factor. It's 5 megapixel camera, integrated GPS, FM transmitter. You can think of it a bit like the N78 with an extra 6 months development time on it. Then there's the N85, which I think it's probably the new mid-range N-series. It's a dual slider, so the same kind of design as the N95 family, but it comes in a slightly cheaper at launch cost, and again, it's got a 5-megapixel camera, dual LED flash that's been sort of optimised for micro-optics, GPS, tri-band WCDMA, which is a first for Nokia. It's also got USB charging, another first on S60. And I think one of the most significant things is its screen, which is using the AMOLED technology, which I'm sure we'll come back to in a minute.
Yeah, I think for me, just to summarise where I am on both the devices, the N79, as you say, is what the N78 really should have been. And certainly it's something that I'm excited to try, whereas the N78 never really grabbed me. The N85, though, is exciting. You've mentioned a couple of the technology first there. The OLED screen I'm really excited about. So long now we've had almost backward screen technology. Now we're taking a giant leap forward. It's lower power, higher contrast, better performance, better angles of viewing, better everything. The USB charging is a big, big win. I'm fed up with carrying... charger cables and adapters around with me, and just being able to carry a simple USB to mini USB or micro USB cable, and that being everything, data and power all in one go, that really appeals to me. And finally, of course, it's thinner. It's 25% thinner than the N95 with all the N95's features and the extra screen and the charging. So it's really what the N95 could have been if it jumped a couple of years in the future. And it's a bit, in my mind, despite the N96's presence, the N85 is really the N95's spiritual successor. Ewan, do you want to pine any opinions on the two devices?
I completely agree with you in terms of the USB charging. Given the travelling that I tend to do, being able to leave one behind is going to be a good thing. I'm intrigued by the sudden rush for thinness, which the E71 also carries. It's also a big selling point in terms of other devices as well. And it's great that they finally worked out the dimensions that we can do for a smartphone in terms of screen and keyboard, which is roughly the same as the iPhone, as we pointed out before, in the E71. It's like, well, there's only two dimensions left that we can tweak. One of them is the thinness, and the other one is time. But that takes us into the realm of science fiction. I'm just wondering how thin these phones can go now, and I suspect that's where we're going to see the sort of high-end phones over the next 2 or 3 years. But I think the main thing to point out is both the 79 and the 85 are going to sell bucket loads. These are the ones that are going to be the mainstream of Nokia's sales in the next channel. Forget about whatever touchscreen devices they come out. Forget about what high-end devices come out of other manufacturers. The 79 and the 85 are going to mop up in terms of sales figures in millions.
Yeah, I quite agree. The one first comment on thinness, though. Yes, the E71 is ridiculously thin. I mean, you could probably slip it into any envelope you care to mention. But looking at the N95 8GB, which I've been using for a month now, as people probably fed up with hearing, it seems like a nice size. When you handle it, you use it day to day. But then you look at something like the iPhone or like the E71, and you think, wow, my N95 is so chunky, and you cannot believe the two side by side. And yes, if we were given something 25% thinner, I think most of us would grab it. So I think that it's right to have a push on just reducing that thickness from over an inch to something that's around about 13, 14, 15 millimetres. I think that's the right sort of ballpark. Rafe, what are your personal opinions on these two devices?
Well, I like both of them. I want to come back to a couple of things you said. The thinness is an obvious one. It is possible to overstate that. I mean, it is a lot thinner than the N95 and the N95 8 gigabyte, but it is still a relatively thick device, you know, when you put it next to something like the E71, but it is a big improvement. The other thing that I think people will notice immediately when they see these two phones sitting side by side is the N95 8 gigabyte does have a bigger screen, and if you've been using that, it may be a bit of a step backwards to have to go back to I think it's 2.6 inches. That's a balanced one. I've been fortunate enough to have a look at some of the prototypes of these devices, and there's something about the N85 design-wise that maybe doesn't appeal quite as much as some of the previous N-series. It's still very nice, and one of the highlights for me was the illumination keys. It's a little thing, but it's intelligent illumination, so you can use the multimedia shortcut keys on the top slide. They'll only activate when there actually is a use for them. So that's in, say, music playback, you get all four controls. If you're using it in engaged gaming mode, you'll just get an A and a B button from the central two buttons. So I do like that a lot. And yes, I mean, the thing is about the N85, it packs in so much into a relatively small package. It's undoubtedly, as Ewan says, going to be a really top seller, and it's far more important next year than any of the touch devices Nokia may or may not bring out in due course. There's one thing that I think is really worth mentioning is the camera slide, which I think Nokia really got absolutely right with this. It's very easy to use. It's just a simple slide up and down, but it gives you the lens protection that these cameras really need, given that, you know, a scratch on the lens can make a big difference to camera performance. So I was really impressed by that. There's a couple of other nice things that are less obvious from some of the photos. The micro USB port is actually on the top of the device, which makes a lot of sense when it's sitting on your desk and then trailing off to a PC somewhere behind. It doesn't get twisted round, so you can still see it. And there's a key lock button on the side of it, which you just flick back and forth to switch the key lock on and off. And personally, I really like that, because it's a real pain in the neck having to press the soft key and then the star key. N85 certainly gets a thumbs up from me. Of course, we're going to have to wait until we see some production hardware. The N79 really is actually one of those phones that looks far better in person than it does in the pictures. And when you see it in the pictures, it appears to have a couple of funny lumps on it. It's partly a result of the multimedia key being on the left-hand side, which actually, in my opinion, is a better position for it because it gets in the way less. And then it has a sort of matching protuberance on the top right. And there isn't really any reason for that apart from to match the similar cutout at the bottom. But actually, in the hand, it looks very good. It feels really light. The build quality is outstanding. Probably the best I've seen in an N-series device. The Expression covers on the prototype I saw were slightly squeaky, but I suspect that will improve by the time we see the final version. The sort of personalisation aspect, you know, being able to put on an Expression cover, people will really like it. The fact that's tied into the theme as well is, you know, a really nice touch. I think people often underestimate how important it is for people to be able to personalise their devices. And again, just like the N78, it is a relatively small device. You know, we're getting much closer to what people consider bog standard phone size here, yet it hasn't really sacrificed any of the features. You know, there's still the 3.5 millimeter audio jack. You know, again, there's the camera lens. Again, there's the dual LED flash. Some people will want Xenon, but if you want to be able to record both video and still images in dark conditions, you really need the LED flash. The keyboard's an interesting one. It looks not that good in the pictures because it is pretty thin, especially the number keys, but in practice it sort of seems to work quite well, and the soft keys are slightly sticking up from the device, which makes them easy to press but means they don't take up much area, so you can still get at the S60 key and the cancel key very easily. So, you know, actually this is a device that probably of the two impresses me more, just from partly a design point of view, and partly I think this will sell more. And pretty much screen and USB charging and WCDMA bands aside, has exactly the same feature set as the N85 and arguably the N96 as well, albeit with a different screen size and memory configuration. Yet this is going to be relatively cheap, and this is the one we're going to see, just like we saw with the N73, absolutely everywhere. And I think Ewan hit the nail on the head there. You know, a lot of people have been saying this is just a step evolution, and actually that's quite right, but Nokia is still ahead of their competition in this area, and they are going to sell an awful lot of them. So while there'll be a lot of attention on the upcoming touch devices, these are the ones that I would look at more closely as being important in the next year. So yeah, thumbs up from me too, really.
Okay, that's good. It's just worth noting for readers and listeners out there that the N79 and N85 we have here at AAS Towers are both prototypes, and we're still waiting production hardware, so I think that'll now be a couple of weeks away. Also, sadly, a couple of weeks away are still the Nokia N96 and the Samsung Innovate, both of which we've been waiting for quite a while. But we will keep you posted on the front page of the site. Do not fear, we haven't forgotten any of these devices. One other device which we mentioned ages ago and which everyone thought we'd forgotten about was the Samsung G810, which is kind of their camera pièce de résistance prior to the Innovate, which has been out now for, I think it was getting on for 6 months. But then we finally got our hands on one, and the review's on the site. But just to reiterate a few overriding impressions, I've got one in my hands now, and I have to say the Samsung build quality is streets ahead of some of the Nokia N series devices, and I speak as a Nokia fan. Partly due to the use of some metal, but partly it just feels so solid. In the same way that the Nokia E71, as the plastic that bits in that are just solid plastic. They don't feel like they're going to cave in and buckle every time you press them. So I'm really impressed by the build quality of the slide, the overall case. The keys are tremendous. The keypad is tremendous. It's probably the best slider keypad I've ever used. The optical zoom in the camera is the first device with optical zoom in smartphone-wise since the Nokia N93, and as you know, I'm a big N93 fan, and it was great to have that back. It's less let down by some niggles. There's the overriding niggle with all these Samsung devices that you can't update the firmware yourself. And that they need, as soon as humanly possible, Samsung, if you're listening, to get some kind of Samsung firmware update service where people can either download a patch file, update over the air, or some way of doing it in your home, because these devices from Samsung, they're fairly new with S60, and there are bugs, there are niggles, there are issues, and they will fix them. They need to get the updates out to the users. That rant over, this just remains to talk about the software, really, and that it's a lot of the Nokia produced software is licensed only for Nokia devices and won't install on the Samsung S60 devices. I'm very much hoping they get together with Nokia and Nokia perhaps put extra certificates in their software, and Samsung put extra certificates in their hardware, so that the two do match up and more of this software from Nokia, e.g. Nokia Maps, can be more widely used. And I think with that in place, then these Samsung S60 devices will be real contenders. I'm very impressed by the G810. If only the software niggles are sorted out and I could update the firmware, I'd be a very happy camper indeed. Rafe, did you ever play with the G810 before I got it?
Yes, I did. I mean, I was actually, pretty impressed by the hardware of this device. As you say, things like the keypad were very nice. One thing I didn't like were there were a lot of sort of protuberances along the side of the device from the likes of the 3.5mm audio jack, and it did feel like a slightly big device, especially when we're seeing some of the other ones come in slightly smaller. It's disappointing, but you do have to put that in the context that this was, as you say, 6 months old, and things do move along very fast. Now, the other thing I think is probably worth highlighting is the camera UI in the camera application. It doesn't follow the S60 style guide at all. In fact, it's very similar to that which you find on the standalone Samsung cameras, and indeed on the G800, which was the proprietary OS sort of predecessor to the G810, a very similar form factor, and again was a top of the range imaging phone. And I actually think that's a good thing, because S60 applications, although I generally prefer applications to follow the style guide, I think the camera is one area where you can draw an exception, basically because it is intended to be sort of a separate function. And as a result, I actually think arguably the camera UI on this G810 is better than that which you find on the N series device. So I don't know what you think about that, Steve, but sort of drop down menus and being able to access all the functions more quickly meant that I actually was more inclined to use some of the more advanced settings rather than just to leave it in fully automatic mode.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I thought I'd hate the camera UI, and certainly when I played with the Innovate the first time, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was somewhat shell-shocked, but I'm getting used to it. And as you say, once you get to know where things are, it is actually faster to maneuver around than the Nokia interface, although I guess I like them both. We're firmly into fairly mature camera software now. It's also worth noting on the thickness point of view that the very presence of a physical optical zoom mechanism does rather restrict the thickness of a device. I don't think we'll be seeing optical zoom in anything thinner than about 18, 19 millimeters for quite a while, if at all. And if you did get optical zoom in smaller devices, then the quality because you've been down, the components would be too small.
I was going to say, I think that's exactly right. And at the end of the day, you know, you look at something like the GH10, you can't help be impressed by the sort of functionality that is in there. The software could do with a bit of polishing, but, you know, things like an optical zoom in a camera, you know, the last time we saw that was the N93. And truly, you know, with cameras, zoom is one of those functions which, you know, has largely been forgotten about with camera phones, I think it's fair to say. But, you know, it's always a standby of a standalone digital camera or a standalone camera because it does make it easier to get the shots you want. And so that kind of feature can't necessarily be underestimated. I was really impressed by the GH10's camera functionality. I did think the results weren't quite up there, maybe with something like the N82, but, you know, we're talking pretty close. I think the thing that lets it down possibly is the sort of the rest of the experience, and partly that's because of not having the Nokia software, and partly it's because so much has been sacrificed to make it a really great camera experience. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to people, but certainly if you're really into the camera stuff, it's certainly worth considering alongside something like the N82.
Yeah, it's just worth mentioning one final point on the optical zoom. I mean, people think, well, what is optical zoom? If you imagine you're trying to photograph something that's, I don't know, 50, 60 feet away. If you take a normal 5-megapixel shot and you then crop out later the bit you actually wanted to see, and then imagine you've taken exactly the same shot but with optical zoom, you've effectively got 3 times the resolution. And I guess this is just finger in the air waving, but your 5-megapixel camera effectively then becomes a 15-megapixel camera for that central area. The downside, of course, is that the bigger the optical zoom, as you know, if you've tried optical zoom on any other device as a standalone camera, the shaking of your hands can start to play a factor. So, you know, you might want to invest in a tripod once you start playing with optical zoom. But it's very worthwhile having, and it's great fun to play with. And we'll move on now, if I may, to Ovi. There's a big Ovi news yesterday on the site, but I'd like to let Ewan take this one and introduce what it's all about.
Yes, they've changed how it's pronounced. It's now going to be pronounced Ovi. Because everybody else in the world is pronouncing it Ovi. They've just got, okay, we'll go with the majority. No, seriously, Ovi Sync is here. This is the next small step in Nokia's all-encompassing software, web, PC, and mobile play. Essentially, this is an over-the-air synchronization tool. And you can look at your notes, your tasks, your calendar events, and your dates online, as well as on your device. It's using the built-in Sync software. It appears to be Sync ML, so there's nothing fantastically different about this technology, but what is important here is that it's slowly bringing in yet another one of those Lego bricks it's making up of Ovi. I sound like Ozzy Ardiles now going to Wembley in 1982. It's just nice. It just works. It's as simple as that. You sign up, you have to use your new Nokia unified password thing. It's going the same way as Microsoft's old passport system used to, and your Google sign-in as well. It sends a text to your phone. That text has the settings for the sync. It appears in the sync application, and you just click on it. You know, a couple of minutes later, not even that, 30 seconds later, the data is available there on the website. You can log into that. You can edit it. You can resync it back up again. The sync is controlled from your handset, not from the PC, so it's always at the behest of the user, and it does keep you in control. I mean, there are a lot of questions. Again, you're trusting your online data to a third party, but it's also acting as a backup. It also means that if you lose your phone or you're not close to your phone, you have an alternative to get to it. And, you know, I'm not one that's really enjoyed the calendar application on S60, purely because I think that the screen real estate shows too little information. So to actually have that on a PC screen actually makes the information there reasonably worthwhile. I still have no earthly idea why we do not have category support in the notes or the to-do list, because I just don't use them because of that. I wish Nokia would follow every single other PDA and PIM software on the planet and put category support in, but we've been shouting about that since 1999.
Yeah, here. Question for me on this syncing. You mentioned the syncing is at the behest of the user. This has been something that tech people and power users have been happy to do for years now. But when you start introducing synchronization to NOR mobs, as they're called, they're going to start to say, well, why can't I start the sync from the web end or have it happen automatically? And I think that's an excellent question. Rafe, are there some technical reasons why they haven't introduced automatic syncing?
No, there isn't a technical reason that I'm aware of. I mean, basically, this is in the software on the S60 device itself. In terms of starting it from the web end, that would be difficult simply because you'd have to have some kind of trigger or always on connection, with the implications that would have for, you know, data transfers and battery life. But I really do think it's something that is needed in the software, you know, to be able to say, you know, go online and sync it once every 24 hours or, you know, once every 8 hours or whatever. So I think, despite what Ewan says, you know, it being user initiated, I actually think it severely limits the potential uptake of this, because, you know, Steve's quite right, people don't want to have to remember to sync. You know, it's still a useful function, but yes, there isn't, as far as I'm aware, any particular technical reason apart from a limitation in the software on the phone.
I don't even think it would need that much, to be honest. I mean, you already have PushWap and MMS, so basically you could just send an SMS-style message to the phone, and this gets picked up as a push message, which means it doesn't appear in the application, and this could literally kick off the sync application on the phone. So the technology is there. We just need a couple of lines on the phone and on the web browser to say, when you receive this push message, start the sync. So it should be possible, and perhaps that may be one of the incremental improvements that we will see coming along at the moment from Ovi, because everything in Ovi is clearly mapped out in Nokia. They announced what they were doing 18 months ago. You know, the first parts launched 12 months ago, and we have the roadmap of what's coming out and roughly when they're coming out, and this is the next one. And we still see things like the Ovi files and the Ovi share are being constantly improved, and I suspect sync will be exactly the same.
Yeah, it's worth noting that Apple's MobileMe and things like Microsoft Active Sync on the PC, they all sync automatically. There's this awareness that when you're within range of your Mac or your PC, that sync happens automatically. When synchronization happens instantly if you're out and about into the cloud. And I think the Nokia have got to start embracing that for the people to take the synchronization seriously. Rafe.
Yes, I just wanted to add to what you guys have been saying. I mean, I think what's interesting about this is it's kind of the first leg of the web side of Ovi. And if you recall, when it was launched, Nokia were very big on saying it would be a three-leg stool. You know, there's going to be a mobile component, there's going to be a web component, and there's going to be a PC component. And we've already seen some of the PC components and things like Nokia Photos and the music client and indeed the Ovi Suite. But this is the first thing that, you know, brings the idea of a web portal for Ovi or into play. And I think that's, you know, going to be a very key idea moving forward. And what they've done, if you sign into this service on the front page of Ovi.com, you'll actually see some of this, of your personal data. You know, it will show you your upcoming tasks and calendar appointments. They've also added a couple of modules in the same way that you can add modules to a webtop like iGoogle or NetVibes. In this instance, it's actually image streams from Share on Ovi and from Flickr, and I think we'll be seeing a lot more of those kind of modules to add onto your front page in the future. And that's going to be, I think, very compelling, because a lot of the data that you need in order to do add-on services is going to be within the Ovi cloud, if you like. And many of the services that people want are related to that data in some way, you know, be it sort of address lookup or maybe sending text messages, that kind of thing. Or indeed images, because I'm sure we'll see sync of images. Indeed, you get it to show on Ovi, but I think we might see a more uniform way of doing that in due course. And so you're just starting to see the sort of the web portal side of Ovi start to appear. And I think that's, you know, one of the crucial things that you can draw out of this, is that this is going to become a very important part of it. We're only seeing the very first step here. And as both of you guys have said, you know, there are other options, you know, the likes of GooSync and MobiCal spring to mind for doing very similar things in terms of being able to edit your data on the web. And I think editing the data on the web is a great function itself. You know, Nokia isn't really doing anything special here, but what is important is, again, they're going to be wrapping up all the services together. They'll be available out of the box and it'll be a one-stop destination. And while I would fully expect most sort of tech-orientated people to pick and choose the services they want to use one by one, and there'll always be services better than any one of the components within the Knockit offering outside of it. You know, Gmail will probably always have one of the best email offerings, for example, or Google Calendar, you know, maybe better than what Knockit is offering, but Knockit will be offering it in a broad package. And I think the only one who's going to be able to compete on that kind of scale with the full offering is going to be Google. And so some of the littler players, in terms of the mass market at least, are going to struggle to compete. And so, you know, I foresee a time in a couple of years' time when, you know, people will start to think, when they get a Knockit phone that is OVI enabled, all the services that come with it are actually the main point of buying this phone, rather than some of the hardware stuff that we tend to talk about now. And I think this is what this points me towards. So, you know, I think it's an exciting glimpse of the future, if you will.
Yeah, it's worth emphasising there is lots for Knockit still to do, things like setting up proper map synchronisation. And of course, if setting up an email system is certainly strongly hinted at, and that's got to happen in the near future. There's also talk of an OVI suite for Macintosh users that runs on their Macintosh and has the three-way synchronization. So there's a lot of stuff for Knockit to do, but things do seem to be happening at long last, and I think we can start to see a lot of the full vision. Just to finish off this podcast, I'd just like to ask the panel's opinions. A lot of people have been saying now the N85's appeared. Do we still need the Nokia N96? We've been waiting for this for month after month. Is it still going to be the Leviathan that people think it's going to be? Will people still buy it? Who wants to go first?
Well, given that the N96 is rumoured to be the controller for Duke Nukem Forever, yes, we do need the N96.
What about you, Rafe?
Well, you know, I've seen all of this, and I completely get where people are coming from. But I think the assumption was that the N96 was going to be sort of you know, a replacement for the N95 and a market-leading device. And I think that was always an incorrect assumption. As I said when I first previewed it, this really sits in a category of its own. It's going to have, you know, the bigger screen. It's going to have a whole lot more onboard memory. And some people are going to want to pay for that and have this device. And it's, you know, things like the video functionality becomes far more important in this device than some of the other bits and pieces. You know, and if you've got DVB-H in your country, that's a very significant value add, in my opinion. But, you know, I don't see the N96 necessarily, you know, as the iconic one of the line. It probably still is the flagship, in that if you want to get the absolute ultimate in terms of the maximum, this is the one to go for. You know, if you look at the N95, really, yes, it is, it's got a better screen, and yes, it's got USB charging. But then if you look at the sort of other areas, you know, like the screen size, all the onboard memory. So I still think there is a place for the N96. I think people were probably assuming it was going to occupy a bigger territory than it actually was. And Nokia have always had the pattern of having a lot of devices, you know, covering relatively small areas. You know, there's always been at least three or four N series, what I would consider in range at any one time. And I don't think now's any different. I think the difference perhaps is that you know, there is less difference between the hardware because, you know, the hardware is becoming more standardised. And so, you know, it, at first glance, it's more difficult to see a difference. The interesting thing, I guess, with this is the N96 is going to be notably more expensive, which I think does lower its value for money. But I think people who are willing to spend, you know, whatever it's going to be, £600 on a phone, are probably less concerned about value for money than people who are looking to spend maybe £300. Who are looking at the N79 range. And of course, most people are still not going to want to spend that much on a phone, and they're going to look at getting it through the operators, which is why, as we said, the N79 and N85 are going to be important. But I wouldn't rule the N96 out altogether, because I still think it's, you know, it's got plenty of things going for it in its favour. I just don't think it will be the sort of mass market replacement for the N95 that many people kind of were putting it in place for. I think that never was the case. So it's perhaps a bit of a misconception there to say that it's not going to be what it once was, because it never was going to be that. If I tangle up my words like that, hopefully you see what I mean.
There we are. Rearrange the aforementioned words into yes, et cetera. Ewan, very quickly, I'll ask each Ewan and Rafe and myself, in 10 seconds, which smartphone, which main principal device will you be using at Christmas time this year?
Probably the Asus 3E901. There you go. Mull that one over.
Thank you, Ewan.
Right.
Oh, that's a tricky question.
And you had time to think about your answer.
Yeah. Well, I even now I don't use one. And I suspect I will still be using the combination of an E71 and one of the N series. And if I had to guess, I would probably say... Ooh, I'm not sure between the N79 and the N85 yet, but I'll go for the 79 just to be a bit different.
There we go.
And that, dear listeners, is the difference between 10 seconds of perception time.
That's the difference between Ewan time and Rafe time.
And what about you, Steve? What device are you going to be using?
I'm very much hoping to be using the Samsung Innovate, but I have this huge caveat about software compatibility we mentioned already. As long as Samsung get their act together, I cannot see myself using any other device come Christmas time. Samsung build quality, the 8-megapixel camera, all the gadgets, it just ticks every box for me.
Yeah,
but we shall
tempting,
see.
Tempting, yeah. It's of course, there may be new stuff by then, which will be attracting our eyes, because I'm afraid we're not exactly faithful companions to our phones. We do tend to switch every now and then, so there are plenty of phones crying in drawers somewhere.
One other thing about the Innovate, a feature is not often mentioned, it's got the focusing and video mode, which, I'd produce my smartphone show, and I'd also video work. And having focusing and video mode in an 8 megapixel stills camera smartphone, that is just I'm just being heaven. So that's my guess. We shall see in the coming months. There's lots of new toys arriving between now and December. That's it for this insight. So it's goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.
Goodbye from me, Rafe.
And goodbye from me, Ewan.
Cheerio, guys.